Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with John Rubino, founder and editor of the Dollar Collapse website. I will post a link to John's site below this interview. Now, John, talking today, I think we can happily look at the precious metals and see the continued move higher that we're seeing, and arguably another breakout in gold here. Gold is above that 1850 level, trading right now around 1865. That's up about $22 today. Silver's up 65 cents, almost 2.5%, over $28. John, are these moves happening because of that higher inflation data from last week, or are there some other factors that you're watching here that are continuing to drive gold higher? May is setting up to be a good month here for gold.
Hey, Corey. Well, you know, the inflation numbers alone would normally be plenty to send gold way higher, right? I mean, we're at, what, 4% annualized in the U.S. now? And that's a pretty spectacularly big number in the context of the last few years. So that would be enough to spook the markets and send people into gold. But there's other stuff going on, too. You know, the cryptos are tanking. And generally speaking, Bitcoin is seen as a competitor of gold. So there's money flowing out of cryptos with all the, you know, the Elon Musk stuff that's going on and everything. And, you know, in relative terms, that presumably helps precious metals. You know, the world is, as usual, kind of a mess in a lot of other ways. That just the background noise is always so negative anymore. But the Middle East is starting to get even crazier than usual. You know, this Israel-Palestine thing is brutal. These videos are horrific. And there's always the danger that some of the big powers get pulled into something like that, because Iran is watching this very carefully, and Russia's over there in Syria. And, you know, that again, would be enough to send people into safe haven assets. So you got a lot of stuff going on. And the fact that gold and silver are just fundamentally undervalued, you know, so at any time, a ton of money should be pouring into them. So, you know, add it all up, and it shouldn't be a big surprise that gold and silver are doing better lately, especially after that long correction that they had. So, you know, I wouldn't want to ascribe what's happening to any one thing, just because you can't know that. There's a lot of different things that are happening that are all kind of sort of favorable for precious metals. And, you know, whatever the cause is, I'll take it. It's nice to see this happening finally. It's been a long, boring stretch since whatever it was, 8 months ago or whatever. Yeah, the peak in August. Okay. And, you know, that's long enough for a correction. Okay. You know, we had it. We have lived through it, and now it's time for gold to start going back up and for the mining stocks to start rocking again, which they are today. You know, this is a good day for the miners, which isn't a surprise with gold and silver up this way. So all around, good for gold bugs today.
Well, and that's correct there, John, is that it's a very different environment than it was, let's say, at the tail end of last year when we saw rates continuing to rise, U.S. markets were doing really well, the dollar was strong. Well, I guess the dollar was kind of dropping at the tail end of last year, but that didn't seem to really matter for the continued correction in precious metals. But now we are seeing, I guess, more reasons for investors to move into the precious metals. But are you drawing any correlation here between what cryptocurrencies are doing and what the precious metals are doing? Because in all fairness, these two markets have moved in not really that correlated of moves towards or against each other here over the last little bit. Bitcoin and cryptos in general have been kind of a beast on their own, while precious metals have been largely ignored.
Yeah. You know, you can't really know for certain what relates to what in a market with this much hot money sloshing around. But I think you can make the case, well, several cases with cryptos. First of all, yeah, they're kind of competitors with precious metals, because they're seen by a lot of people, and they're sold as safe haven assets. In other words, you put your money in Bitcoin, and that purchasing power that you put there will be available to you 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, just like it is with gold. So in that sense, they're competitors. I think more interesting in the long-term sense, to learn about cryptos, you have to learn about fiat currencies, because that's why cryptos are interesting, because they're better than these crappy fiat currencies that dominate the financial world right now, which is really also the gold story. So to the extent that cryptos are pulling in a new audience that were not interested in gold previously, and then educating those people about the evils of fiat currencies, you're in effect creating a lot of new potential gold bugs out there. So when the longer this goes on, when cryptos falter, you have these people who understand safe haven assets, but the one they've chosen, if they're in cryptos, isn't doing so well. But they look over and see gold and silver as fairly stable places to be. It's not a surprise to see some of that money move over. So that could be what's happening now, where, you know, money that could have gone into gold went into Bitcoin. Now money that's pouring out of Bitcoin partially is going to gold. So I think these markets are really complementary rather than competitive in the long run. In the short run, anything is possible with you know, $25 trillion flowing around the world looking for a place to live. Any kind of crazy thing you can think of can happen. But in the long run, fundamentals tend to win out. And that right now really favors precious metals.
Well, and especially for short-term trading, it's a lot about momentum and trend, right? And gold was in a downtrend for about 8 months. And now it is finally, it looks like, starting an uptrend, right? So that naturally draws in some more investors. John, one thing that you and I were discussing off mic is some changes in this Basel III agreement here that you think are drawing a bit more attention towards gold and could actually be positive for the precious metals. Can you break down what's caught your eye here?
Yeah, that could be a big part of the reason for the timing of gold and silver taking off. You know, they were always going to, but that they're happening right now, just as the Basel III thing is starting to heat up, could be related. Basically, what this is the guys who regulate what banks are allowed to count on their balance sheets as different kinds of assets and what they're allowed to do based on the capital that they have on their balance sheets, are changing the rules relative to paper gold. You know, it used to be that banks could just make up, you know, futures contracts with gold, which really aren't anything at all. You know, they aren't backed by anything, so they're just play money. But they could put that on their balance sheet and count it as a legitimate asset, and then do things, you know, make loans or whatever based on that rock solid balance sheet that had all that paper gold on it. And now the regulators are telling them, nah, you can't do that anymore. You're going to have to count that paper gold more according to its intrinsic value, which is minimal. And the banks are all, and the gold dealers in general are all freaked out by this. They're saying, well, we can't even stay in the gold futures business if you're going to make us count this stuff legitimately. You know, if we have to tell the truth, we aren't going to do this anymore. And so the end result of that might be, I mean, if the Basel III rules actually get implemented, might be that the physical gold market gains more pricing power out there relative to the paper gold market. And everybody thinks that if physical set the prices would be way higher. So that's the kind of world that may be evolving if these rules get put into place. And that's a more hospitable world for precious metals. And so you're seeing money flow into precious metals right now. So I think it's conceivable that there's a relationship there. And but I don't think we should count those chickens before they're hatched, because you know, the big banks have a lot of power over the regulatory apparatus of the world. So until this deal is actually done, there's always a chance that it gets watered down, or it gets canceled, or it gets delayed, and then, you know, a lot of the money that flowed into precious metals will reverse back out in disappointment. So that's always out there until this thing is done. So, you know, it's basically good news, but it's not a done deal. So we have to see how it plays out.
Absolutely. Don't count your chickens until that deal is signed, right? And again, these type of stories sometimes can be a lot more of the buy the rumor, sell the news type of thing too. So be aware of that. Final comments then, John. How critical is it to see the U.S. equity markets kind of flatlining here? They showed a little bit of strength last week, especially at the tail end of the week. But overall, the upward momentum in the broad averages has dissipated. Does that then draw a bit more attention, do you think, into gold, because it has relatively, well, drastically underperformed the markets?
Well, yeah, gold and stocks are also competitors. So to the extent that stocks, I mean, they had a huge run. I mean, U.S. stocks just, you know, they had a 1999-2006 level run just lately here, just really a spectacular increase in price of the big stock averages, especially the tech stock related averages, that took them into way into bubble territory. So it's no surprise there either that they're kind of running out of steam, especially now that, you know, the economy, because of inflation, because of labor shortages in the U.S. and lots of other things, the economies of the world look like they're if not overheating, heading in that direction. And that's leading to a lot of speculation about tightening by central banks pretty soon here, which the central banks say they're not going to do it. But if inflation stays above 4%, or if the labor market stays as tight as it is in the U.S., or any number of other things, you know, copper, iron ore, lumber, any of this stuff continues to be front page news, then the, you know, the corollary to it is that, okay, well, governments are going to have to scale back their stimulus and central banks are going to have to tighten. And that's bad for overvalued stocks. So that could be what we're seeing there too, is just that this bull market in equities has kind of run out of steam for fundamental and technical reasons. And it's time for a big correction. And so we're, you know, we're seeing the beginnings of that. It hasn't happened yet, but it's gotten really choppy with some big down days. So you could easily see it roll over from here. And that, you know, that's also a good thing for gold to an extent. You know, a big drop in the stock market would probably make precious metals go down. But if you have a choice of whether to be in tech stocks or precious metals, when you're worried, you'll still probably choose gold. And I think that's also influencing the price action in precious metals.
Well, to your point about central banks, not the Fed, but we have heard from other central banks about starting to tighten, and a few of the smaller ones have even tinkered a little bit with tightening their monetary policy. So I really do think that needs to be a theme that investors need to expect here, is that central banks and eventually the Fed could very easily get pulled into having to tighten some of their monetary policies. But who or when is the big question? John, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll post a link, as I mentioned, to the Dollar Collapse website, and we'll chat again in another couple weeks. Have a great rest of your week there, John.
Thanks, Corey. You too.